Hi, it's Dave. Welcome. In today's video, I'm going to be talking about how to value Facebook stock. Now, I think one of the most valuable and underrated skills actually in the financial world is how to value and analyze companies for yourself on a personal level. Now, a lot of times we rely on other people's estimates or other people's projections, and they're relying on other people's estimates, and it keeps on going around in a circle, and it becomes this whole herd mentality. However, in this channel, we're trying to create our own thinking, our own independent thinking, and own skills and abilities to analyze and value companies, and we think that that's going to be super valuable as an investor. All right, so how do we value a company like Facebook, right? Everyone knows Facebook now. Like, you know, back in like, let's say 2010 or so, you had some people not really familiar with Facebook, but now it's 2020. Facebook has become a dominant, right, social networking company. And how do you value a company like this? How much would you pay for it if you wanted to buy the company outright? And we're gonna look at this question today. Facebook, so in summary, it started in 2006, right, by Mark Zuckerberg, and it's become the world's dominant social networking company. Now, everyone has an opinion on Facebook, whether it's positive or negative. And for this video, I'm going to reserve my own personal thoughts and just look at purely the financial angle and kind of like their business model. Now, Facebook has multiple products, right? It's kind of a conglomerate of sorts already. It has Facebook, Messenger, Instagram, WhatsApp, Oculus, and it has a bunch of other products, right? I heard recently that they've launched a new product called Lasso in South America, which is basically, it's a TikTok clone, right? And Facebook has a multitude of other kind of projects they're incubating as well. Now, here's Facebook's model. Facebook's model is largely centered on hyper-targeted advertising. They allow advertisers to go in and to utilize their self-serve ad tools to create ad campaigns and hyper-target which people and which users are going to be seeing their ads. And you can do ads for pictures, for video, for text, etc. You can target by age, location, interest, etc. And the whole business model of Facebook is they leverage the network effects of social networking, right? Because they have the people in the network, more and more people find value in the growing social network. And for example, take an example of their group section, right? It's a feature that I'm starting to use more and more just because they have a growing number of some of the most knowledgeable people on different topics, right? Like, I've got this RV, and the best group of people who know about this particular RV are on this particular Facebook group that I'm in, and it's one of the great places to go for information. All right, Facebook itself, let's take the Facebook app. It has 2.6 billion monthly active users. So when you see this MAU, that's monthly active users, versus DAU means daily active users. Now, in Facebook, you have a news feed, you've got stories, groups, marketplace, watch, etc., a whole bunch of features. And also with Facebook, I'm going to include kind of the Messenger app, which is Facebook considers it a separate product. Next, you have Instagram. Instagram has over a billion users, right? It's one of the most, underrated purchases, right, in recent history that Facebook did, because it's just become the dominant kind of visual social network, let's say, after YouTube. Next is they have WhatsApp, right? It was acquired through acquisition, and now WhatsApp has 2 billion users. It's amazing, right? It's the world's largest chat app, right? I'm not really a big WhatsApp user, but in some countries, it's just the dominant, right, chat app and way to communicate with other people. All right, this was a chart back in 2019, and it's based on monthly active users. And you have Facebook here, right, at 2.4 billion. Then you have YouTube, is a number two kind of, you know, social app at 2 billion, which is, it's grown over that time. Then you have WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger, right? WhatsApp app has grown to 2 billion and Facebook Messenger has probably grown. Then you have Instagram, right, at over a billion. And so just in this chart, let's take a look at the top six, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, out of the top six global social networking platforms, right? This is huge. I mean, this is like the immense amount of posting, interaction, right, all this stuff. Out of the top six social networking platforms in the world, you have Facebook, WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, and Instagram. Facebook owns four out of the top six, right? That's just unprecedented. It's just an amazing reach that Facebook has in terms of social. All right, Facebook daily active users. This is just for the Facebook app. They've grown from about 1.45 to 1.7 billion users in the past 2 years, right? This was back in 2018, and now this is in Q1 of 2020. Now, an interesting thing to point out about this chart is Facebook is actually very globally diversified, right? A lot of times we think Facebook is just in our country or in our kind of circle, but look at this. The rest of the world is over 500 million. Asia Pacific is almost 700 million people. US, Canada is actually the smallest in terms of region at 195 million. So if you think that Facebook is largely like a US app, no, it's not actually. Even Europe is 300 million people. Facebook is amazingly diversified globally, and it has the top right social networking position in many, many countries around the world. Facebook monthly active users, it shows the same type of, you know, chart from 2.2 to 2.6 billion users in basically 2 years, right? You had Q1 of 2018 in the beginning and Q1 of 2020 in the end. All right, Facebook average revenue per user, right? ARPU. Now, this is an important kind of metric that Facebook uses, is how much money are they making off of each user? Now, by far, the US, Canada is their highest kind of grossing region per user. And here's what the data shows. In Q1 of 2020, last quarter, they made $34 per user in the US and Canada. Now, that's just mind-boggling in a sense, how much money they're making. Take the last four quarters, right? This is about, let's say, $100, $140 or so. So over the last four quarters, right, the last year, Facebook on average has made $140 per user in the US and Canada. Now just think about that. That's just mind-boggling numbers, how much Facebook is actually monetizing their users in the US. Now, in terms of Europe, right, the numbers are quite lower, right, $10 or so. And Asia Pacific is even lower at around $3 per quarter. And the rest of the world right here is around $2, right? So the US far and Canada far dominates, right? I think part of it is, you know, there's a lot of demand for the companies and also a lot of hyper-targeting, right? And that's one of the risk factors if there's higher, greater privacy laws taking place. For example, Europe has enacted some more privacy laws. It could hurt some type of hyper-targeting. All right. Facebook also reports on their family daily active people, meaning this is across their family of apps, right? Instagram, WhatsApp, and Facebook. How many people are using, right, all of their apps? And they've gone from 2 billion to 2.36 billion in quarter number one of 2020. All right, monthly active people across their family of apps has grown from 2.6 to about 3 billion people in Q1 of 2020, right? So Facebook is still growing across all of its grouping of apps. Now the average revenue per person, right, across the grouping of apps now is about $6. Now if you notice with Facebook, every Q4 is a spike because Q4, the advertising revenue is always higher. That's how the advertising world works. Q4, Christmas season, people are buying, people are advertising more. All right, so let's look at some of the questions. These are the top three questions I usually ask in an investment. First is I say, hey, do they have a superior product and the ability to defend that product superiority over time? If you look at Facebook right now with social networking, yeah, they have a far superior product in terms of usage, in terms of the value they're giving, and there's not much indication that they're not going to be able to defend that superiority over time. There are risk factors, which I'm going to describe shortly, though. Second, do they have world-class execution? Can they compete against the best of the best? And Facebook has continued to show over time that yes, they are competing against the best of the best, and they continue to win, right, with social networking. Sure, there are times where they lose. Let's say, you know, in terms of like, let's say, they're still the Twitter, they're still the Snapchat, and I'm going to talk about TikTok as well. But nevertheless, they're the one of the best at executing at the scale that they're doing. Number three, are they disrupting a large market? Yes, right? They're doing actually multiple markets because they're using social networking and the network effects of social networking, the usage that that has, and then they're using that leverage now to disrupt the advertising network, right? So many dollars now are going to Facebook and also Google. Those are the two main kind of advertising outlets you've got. All right, now let's take a look at Facebook's finances and how to value this company of Facebook. And this is important because if we understand how to value companies like Facebook, like Google, like Tesla, like Square, like other companies, we start to understand these skills of understanding the revenue and the margins and their operating profits and how to give a certain multiple. Now, the most difficult part, I think, is actually giving the right multiple. And a lot of times you just need the experience to see what type of multiples the market is giving, right? And it's a big range. And then you can apply those multiples, let's say, in your own head for projections going forward. All right, let's look at Facebook's revenues. So what we have here is in Q1 of 2018, you had Facebook making about $12 billion in revenue. And 2 years later, in Q1 of 2020, they're at $17 billion. Now, that's actually a big jump. In terms of pure percentage, right, that's 12 to almost 18, $6 billion. That's like almost a 50% jump in revenue growth in 2 years, right? Impressive. Next, operating margin. Now, they've had consistent operating margin of about 40%. These two quarters, they actually had a payout of $5 billion to the FTC, and they took it during these two quarters. That's why it's lower. Income is also very high. It's been averaging between $5 and $8 billion per quarter. And let's look at their income statement here. Now, you have total revenue has grown from $40 billion to $55 billion to $70 billion. Dollars in a year. Now, this is just absolutely mind-boggling. How fast it's growing. If you take this, this is a $15 billion jump, right, from 2018 to 2019. 15, divide that by $55 billion, which is this market. You're looking at, I think it's about 27% or so annual growth rate in revenue, right? This is amazing growth for a mega cap company like Facebook. Now, you've got a very low cost of revenue, only $13 billion out of the $70 billion, and then your gross profit is $60 billion. So your gross margin here for like Facebook is like over 80%, right? This is an amazingly like lucrative business with low overhead. Take their operating expenses, about $40 billion, you're left with operating income of about $24 billion, right? That's out of $70 billion revenue, right? That's like, what, 35% or so operating margin. That's an amazingly profitable business, right? Now, there aren't that many businesses that look as good as Facebook in terms of how much revenue they're getting, how fast they're growing, and how much margin they have actually. Okay, so let's look at their balance sheet. What are they doing here? So if you look at their balance sheet into end of last year, they've got about $55 billion in cash, and that's fine because Facebook, you know, is a cash cow now, right? They're just generating mega cash every year. I mean, if you look at this statement here, just last year it was $18 billion in cash, the year before 22, 15. So they're generating, you know, a good $15 to $20 billion every year in cash, right? And that's just income actually. Their cash flow is probably higher with that. They don't have that many debts in terms of current liabilities. They're able to pay it all off. Facebook's balance sheet is not as strong as, let's say, Google's balance sheet, but you know, it's decent. All right, let's look at Facebook's stock. Here's the stock price in during the market hours, actually, most recently. The market cap was about $644 billion, or let's say $650 billion or so. And you can look at this. The 52-week range is $137 and $240. So it's had a wide range in terms of what people are willing to pay for Facebook stock. All right, so Facebook was at a 52-week low of at $137. And that doesn't mean anything in our stock price. We have to look at market cap. So Facebook's market cap at that time was $390 billion at the low this past year. Their 52-week high was 237, or I think 240 actually, but it was about $675 billion market cap. So that's kind of the range that Facebook has been trading over the past year. Now, if you take that, they've had about a net income, let's say about $20 billion roughly. So what kind of multiple is the market giving Facebook over the past year? And if you calculate it, it's about 34 times multiple. So how do you calculate that? Well, you say 20 billion, you times it by 20 multiple, and you have a $400 billion market cap, right? And that's basically what the market is giving Facebook at the low, right? Now, if you times 20 by 34, so you get about $680 billion, and that's the market cap that the market's giving Facebook at its high. So we know that off of 2019 net income, right, the market's been giving Facebook a multiple off its net income of about 20 to 34. Now, if you can take operating income, now all this stuff is not an exact science in that investors, right, there's no formula that every single investor uses. Some investors use actually different, you know, ways to value a company, but you can also use operating income. How much, right, are they making before taxes, right, another before taxes? And if you take that, it's about $25 billion because Facebook pays about $5 billion in taxes. And if based upon the market cap of $390 billion and $665 billion over the past year, investors are giving Facebook a multiple of about 16 to 27 times operating income. All right, this is how the market's valuing Facebook in terms of its market cap. Now, let's use some of that and let's try to make some projections of how we can value Facebook going forward. So in 2017, they had $40 billion in revenue. 2018, they had 55. 2019, they had $70 billion in revenue. Now, I'm going to start estimating Facebook's revenue going forward. A lot of this is subjective. You can put your own estimates, do your own research, but these are kind of rough estimates. If Facebook has revenue of $85 billion in 2020, $100 billion in 2021, and $115 billion in 2022. So I'm estimating the revenue about two and a half years out, let's say, 2 to 3 years out. In 2022, let's say they have a cost of revenue about $20 billion, and they have operating expenses about $50 billion, right? And I just projected this from the past years. That would leave Facebook with a net income of about $40 billion, and we give a multiple off of Facebook, off of that net income. Now, we know that the market currently, at least, was giving Facebook a multiple of about 20 to 34. So I think probably a multiple of like 25, maybe max 30 might be appropriate for Facebook, let's say, you know, in a few years. The reason why it would be lower, let's say, than 34, actually, I'm talking about the high multiple, because it could go lower, let's say 15 even. But I think one of the reasons why the multiple would be lower than it would in the past year is because Facebook's growth would be slowing down. But there could be some more stability, so it all depends. So I would say if they give a multiple of 25, let's say, then that would give Facebook a market cap of $1 trillion. And this, let's say, would be at the end of 2022 or early 2023 or so, right? So in about 2.5 years, you'd have a decent appreciation in your stock. Now, of course, there are a lot of different factors here, right? There could be different macroeconomic factors. This multiple could go down to 20. It could go up to 30. Right, it could even go lower to 20, right? We saw Facebook's multiple down to 15. So there are a lot of different, you know, variables in these projections. This is just kind of giving kind of a middle of the road kind of estimate based upon their current revenue and multiples going forward. All right, let's look at some risks of Facebook. So first, there's antitrust action. So Facebook is one of the major companies that is being scrutinized by the federal government, by the Justice Department, for various type of, you know, antitrust legal actions. Now, there was a story, and I covered this in my last video about Google, where there's pending like litigation, right? There are really lawsuits that are going to be coming forward likely in a very few months, right? Maybe starting actually with Google. But Facebook is right up there because they have such a dominant position with social networking. And a lot of times they're using their power of the networks, right, to oftentimes, right, to shield off competition. And so there could be a lot of, I guess, scrutiny and antitrust action against Facebook in the coming years. A lot of talk by some politicians and legal people are that they're wanting to reverse the acquisitions of Instagram and WhatsApp, right? So that would mean that they would spin Instagram off and WhatsApp off as separate companies, right, by separate stock symbols. If you're a Facebook user, your Facebook stockholder, you probably get a stock in each of these companies, right? Some people don't think it's that bad because then you can actually have stock in different companies. But however, you miss the synergetic kind of impact of Facebook's dynamic self-serve kind of ad system and it kind of applying across all properties. Another risk factor is there could be stricter privacy laws. And with stricter privacy laws, that means that Facebook could have a harder time kind of monetizing or increasing, right, their average revenue per user. And one of the other risk factors is that with all this litigation, Facebook might be forced to open up their social graph and their different things to competition. That would maybe allow other competition to come into the social networking space and make it a crowded space. I think there's overall risk is when you become such a dominant player and a big player, more people or more competition goes into space. You're put into more scrutiny with the federal government. Things just get harder, right? The bigger you grow as a company. All right, another risk factor is the rise of TikTok. Now, TikTok could grow and Facebook could grow. There could be, you know, many winners in the space of social media. Like, for example, YouTube is already a huge winner as well. But TikTok is interesting because they've already reached 1 billion users faster than any other social media app in history. If you look at this is the 1 billion user mark right there. If you look at TikTok, it's only like been like 3 years or so, I think, since the launch of TikTok, and it's already at a billion users. We're talking about just an amazingly fast growth rate for TikTok, and their company ByteDance has so many initiatives to tackle so many different areas with social media. It's quite immense. I should probably do a video on TikTok. In the comment section, let me know if you'd like to hear that. All right, so I want to wrap this up. If you have any questions regarding how to value Facebook, how to look at Facebook, please go ahead and add that in the comment section. And please tell me your opinion of Facebook. And I know there's a lot of, like, you know, politics around certain people, like, for example, Zuckerberg. A lot of people like him and don't like him, right? There's probably more people who don't like him at this point. There's a lot of politics around Facebook and its impressions, right, of people. And go ahead, share your opinions on Facebook. I wanted to, though, make this video more about a neutral look, like looking at kind of the business model, right, of Facebook, their numbers, how to value the company. I think that's going to give us insight. Now, I want to close this video with kind of this concept that I shared it with you guys in my last video. And it's kind of like this, what is the key insight? Well, what is that secret opportunity that Facebook saw that just other people just didn't see? And is that same key insight going to give competitive advantage for Facebook going forward? Well, I think kind of the key insight is a couple of things. First is they really, really understood hyper-targeting of ads and the potential of that, right? Like, who would have thought, like, you could actually make $140 per user in North America per year off of just hyper-targeted ads? Like, it's immense amount of stuff. And so Facebook's understanding of this, that this is going to be a growing field over time, and we're maybe in the infancy stages of this, right? Personally, I'm a big advocate of privacy. I don't really, you know, appreciate a lot of the hyper-targeting and stuff. It's one of the reasons why I'm not a big Facebook investor. I have some Facebook shares, not that many at this time. But yeah, I just don't completely jive with, you know, the hyper-targeting whole model. The second kind of key insight, though, that Facebook has is that they understood the concept of network effects. And what network effects means is when you have a network of people, what it means is the more people you add on that network, or the larger the network grows, the value of the entire network grows as well, right? More than just the value that one person brings. So for example, if you have a network of 1,000 versus, let's say, a network of 10,000 or a million, it just grows bigger and bigger. And Facebook understood that social networking was completely a network effects game, and that in a sense, winner would take all in terms of these social networking platforms. And Facebook doubled down, and that's why with every campus that they hit early on, they knew they had to win and dominate that campus. And Facebook's attitude has always been about dominating their market segment, because they knew and understood the whole network effects. When Instagram started to dominate a whole nother segment of photo sharing, that's why Zuckerberg freaked out and was willing to pay whatever he could to buy that, because he understood that was just the beginning beginning stage of that network. And I think with this, right, Facebook does have a lot of potential in the future in terms of remaining growth, because, you know, these networks are just going to get more and more valuable as the internet just gets more and more pervasive, right? Advertising is not going to go away. Facebook is riding a few big trends, I think, going forward, and it's hard to really bet against Facebook. However, there are risk factors, like I shared, and I think Facebook's going to be in the hot seat with antitrust legal action. And so that's something always to be considered of when you're investing in companies like Google, like Facebook or Amazon, etc. Anyways, if you like this video, please like it. It helps, you know, spread the word for this channel and this video. And please subscribe to my channel. In this channel, we're looking at companies investing, we're trying to go deep into analyzing companies and valuing companies, looking at it from both quantitative and qualitative skills. And this is going to give us the skills and abilities to become better investors with our own key insights. All right, take care and have a great day.